Lord, we open our hearts to you once again tonight.
Amen.
Pray that you will sanctify us.
Amen.
Remove anything that would hinder your speaking.
Amen.
Pray that you will be merciful.
Amen.
To all of us.
Amen.
Lord, speak to us.
Amen.
Reveal to us what is in your heart.
Amen.
Through the songs of ascent.
Amen.
That's right.
Lord, we desire to go on with you.
Amen.
Pray that through this conference, you will lead us in the proper way.
Amen.
May the Holy Spirit lead us into all truth.
Yes. Amen.
And guide us into the reality.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for everyone here.
Yes.
May we all enjoy your blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Year after year, time really flies. Just to think that now it's the end of 2013, right? It's a bit scary how quick time just goes by. So we really need to buy up the time, redeem the time, and hopefully we will accomplish God's purpose. Amen. Together.
Amen.
Right, together. In this conference, the Lord has given us a burden to share in the songs of ascent. I think perhaps many of you have now realized that there is a group of psalms from 120 to 134 called the Songs of Ascents. And this group of psalms are really very, very important. These songs were sung by the people of Israel, the Jews, each time they went up to Jerusalem to meet the Lord. The Lord required them to go three times a year to Jerusalem to keep the feast. And so when they're approaching Jerusalem, ascending, of course Jerusalem is not down there. Jerusalem must be up there, right? They will all be singing the songs. Can you imagine how wonderful the picture is when the tribes of the Lord are coming to Jerusalem, and while they're approaching Jerusalem, they're singing the songs of ascent. For us, spiritually, today, it shows us that in our spiritual life, we should always be ascending, going upward. And not downward. It's not normal for our spiritual life to be going downward. But we need to see in this Psalms how the Lord is going to take us upward. It's really amazing how in all these 15 Psalms, the Lord is helping us, showing us the way to go upward. To ascend, because the final ascending will be when the Lord comes back and take us to the heavenly Zion.
Amen.
Right? So, but if you're not ascending today, it will be difficult for the Lord when he comes back to take you. Don't think after you're saved and we're just sitting here and waiting to be taken. You know, this is not that simple. No. The whole scriptures tell us that we need to be prepared. We need to mature in life for the Lord to really take us. So the songs of ascents are actually very, very important for us to see. And this songs of ascents is divided into five groups. And I believe that it is very sovereign. There are 15 sons altogether. In order to see the way to ascend, you need to realize that these sons are divided into five groups. Don't think it is my idea. No, it is not my idea. Definitely it's not. Because there is hardly any other way for you to really see it. The numbers in the Bible has a very important meaning. Don't think numbers are insignificant in the Bible. No. So you have 15 sons altogether, divided in five groups, and each group has three sons. So let me write it down to give you a little view here. Altogether you have 15. According to the Bible, how do you think the 15 is divided? What would you think? It's definitely what? The only way is what? 5 plus 10? You can say that's one way to take a look at it. Very good. 5 and 10. What else? Hmm? Join the right thing. Yeah. You got it. Okay. Five plus ten, or you can say three times five, right? Three times five. There's actually no other way for you to come to number 15. So, 5 plus 10. Number 5 and number 10 in the Bible has a very important meaning. What would you think of number 10 right away? If I say number 10, the first thing that comes in your mind is the Ten Commandments. Right? And in the Ten Commandments, it is divided into 5 and 5. Because the first five is toward God. Man's responsibility toward God. And the second 5 commandments is our responsibility toward man. So we, the people of God, or human being in general, God required us to bear the responsibility firstly toward God. And secondly, toward our neighbors, toward one another. So the Lord said, the sum of the Ten Commandments is number one, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, your mind, and with your strength. This is our responsibility toward God. And the second part is to love your neighbors as yourself. So, this is man's responsibility in 5 and 10. So number 5 in the Bible is a number of responsibility. You have 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. So you have the 10 virgins. Those who are wise, they not only have oil in the lamps, but they bought up the oil and they filled their vessels with their oil. It's wonderful. Right? Today, it is your responsibility to be filled with the holy oil, because oil signifies the Spirit of God. And the foolish virgins, they also had a lamb and oil in their lamps, but they didn't carry oil in their vessels. So when the time came, the bridegroom came, they all rose from the dead. They all woke up. The five were ready to enter into the wedding, but the other five were not. So you need to all realize that not all the believers will enter into the wedding. Sorry. Many said, oh, the foolish ones were not saved. They were not believers. The wise ones were the believers. But the Bible didn't say that. No, the Bible didn't say five were believers, five were unbelievers. It says five were wise virgins. They're all virgins. Yes. The unbelievers are not considered as virgins. No, never, never. And they're all waiting for the bridegroom. If you tell an unbeliever today, oh, the bridegroom, your bridegroom is coming in. You're crazy. What do you mean your bridegroom? My bridegroom is coming. So, all these 10 virgins were waiting for the bridegroom to come. Right. And the unbelievers, they will not rise up when the Lord comes. Only the believers will resurrect when the Lord comes. The unbelievers will resurrect at the end of the millennial kingdom for the judgment. So, and the unbelievers, they won't have lambs burning. So the 10 virgins, they all have the lambs burning. And they had oil, except that the foolish ones ran out of oil. They ran out of oil. And so the foolish one told the wise ones, give us some of your oil. The wise one says, no, 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 you better go buy some. And they went and bought. So the unbelievers won't have a chance to buy oil afterwards. No, then when they came back, the door was closed. So they couldn't enter. Why did I mention this? The reason why I mention this to you all is to remind you again that we as Christians and believers don't think that we will all attend the coming wedding. Revelation chapter 19 says, the bride has made herself ready. And blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, right? So, are you sure you're going to enter into the wedding? Well, this is an important question. You better make sure you'll be in the wedding. Because the five foolish ones, when they came after they bought the oil, the door was closed. It was too late. Too late. So, in other words, today you need to be ascending. You need to grow. In your Christian life, you need to ascend. Don't just stay there, you know, the same, and you know, you're just there. Or even worse, don't backslide. You need to grow, and you need to mature in life. It is very, very important. Right? The Bible tells us that when the Lord came the first time, he came as a sower. He sowed the seeds in Matthew 13. Behold, the sower came to sow the seeds. But in Revelation chapter 14, he is coming again to harvest. It's normal. If you sow, what do you expect? To reap. Right? So, when the Lord came the first time, he sowed the seeds of the kingdom. It's really wonderful. What we have received as the word was sown into your heart is not just salvation, it's the kingdom, the word of the kingdom. Right? And 2,000 years later, when the Lord comes back, he wants to reap. He wants a harvest. Let's turn to Revelation 14 again. Revelation 14. Let's take a look at verse 14. How about that? Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And over the cloud sat one like a son of man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Well, who do you think this was? What is this? It's certainly the Lord himself. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he who sat on a cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now, remember, this is Christ who came at the end of the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And he was sitting on a cloud somewhere up in the air. Not on the throne. Now, before this harvest, let's go to the beginning of the chapter here. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures, and the elders. These are the 24 elders in chapter 4. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Now, these are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And these were redeemed from among men, being what?
First
fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, this is not part of the general harvest. In verse 14, this is the harvest of the first fruit. And we know that the first fruits are those who ripen first. And they were taken to the throne, not only to the throne, to the heavenly Zion, to Mount Zion with a lamb. Right? And of course, before the throne too. But they were standing with the Lamb on Mount Zion. This is the heavenly Zion. So in the Song of Ascents, you can see that Mount Zion is very important. Mount Zion is very, very important. So if today on this earth you don't care for Mount Zion, then how can you be taken up to the heavenly Mount Zion to stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion before the throne of God? So, we ought to be ready. If we are not ready when the Lord comes, you will not be taken as the first fruits. So, you can really see that in the whole New Testament, there is a process. The Lord came and sow the seeds as a sower. And when he returned, he was going to reap. And in between, we need to grow and mature in life to become the first fruits. And these first fruits are referring to those who are still alive when the Lord comes, because they are harvested from the earth, from the field, from the field. We cannot go into detail right now, but you have to realize that we all have a chance to be the first fruits today. But it all depends. It's your choice whether you want to be the first fruit or not. Whether you will be mature when the Lord comes. It's very important to see this. Now, let us go back to here. The more you are mature in life, the more you will be able to bear the responsibility. You cannot expect children to bear responsibility. My grandchildren. Well, some are older, right? Sarah, you're going to be 17 or already 17. Wow. Now you can bear more responsibility because you're 17. But suppose you're 7 like Emmanuel. I have a grandchild, a grandson, 7. You cannot expect a 7-year-old boy to bear much responsibility. I see Vadim's son here, right? How old?
1 year.
1 year. Do you expect a 1-year-old boy to bear the responsibility in your house? Impossible. Impossible. If we are not mature in spiritual life, you expect the Lord to give you the responsibility? You think we can bear the spiritual responsibility? We'll be fighting like children.
Yeah.
And that's what we were doing. Fighting. We're all fighting each other. Arguing. And I don't like this. I want this. And nobody cares for the Father's will. But you care what you like. I care for what I want. And we'll be fighting, dividing upon on anything. And we'll make an issue out of anything. There's 3 grandchildren this time, small ones, almost 2, and 5, and 7. You know what they're doing? Not bearing responsibility. They're fighting and playing and fighting and shouting and screaming. Of course, I enjoy them. but sometimes. You know, don't think we as Christians are not like that. Don't think we are not like that. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You all know, right? 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, fleshy. Not only fleshly, but fleshy. Flesh. As to what?
Babes.
As to what?
Babes.
Babes, are you sure? You think there are babes in Christ? Well, born again, we like to say we're born again, that's right. When you were born, were you this big?
No.
No. Definitely not this big. Right? 30-some years ago, you were this big. I mean, this big. We all start as a babe. But after 5, 10, 20, 30 years, you still remain as a babe. How about that? Humanly speaking, it's not possible for you to remain as a babe. How old are you, brother?
27.
27. Are you still a babe?
No.
no. If I said you were a baby, of course you said no, right? You're much taller than I am. For me to say you're a babe, but now I can't say that, right? But spiritually, the Corinthians should have grown already. The time of the first visit to the time that Paul wrote Corinthians, at least 5 years or more. Both of you are still babes in Christ. Now, this is a real problem. This is a real problem. What about after 20 years? What about after 30 years? You said it's not possible. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, at the very end, verse 12, beginning in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be what?
Teachers.
You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, for the Corinthians, maybe it was about 5 years. Paul says, I couldn't give you solid food, but milk, because you're not able to bear it. And now this verse here, by the time you ought to be teachers, now, how long does it take for you to be a teacher? If you want to be a teacher. After you were born.
At least 21 years.
And now, Paul says, you ought to be teachers by this time. That means, hey, you'll be a teacher now. So, how long? I don't know how long. It must be very long. For Paul says, you ought to be a professor by this time, right? You're to be a professor, but yet you're still a babe. Think about it. You know, we've been around, we've been Christians, many of us, for many years now. Can you imagine year after year you're just hearing the same gospel? Christ died for you. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And you're just teaching the elementary principles of the oracle of God. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Righteousness, not just salvation. Not just to be saved, to be born again. Right. For he is a babe again. The writer of the Hebrews says, for he is a babe. Right. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, who are mature. Now here is the word, who are mature. Look at Sarah, you're 17. You're still a teenager, right? But a couple of more years after you graduate college, you'll be 21. You're not a teen anymore. So you're an adult, a grown up, maturing. We ought to all be spiritually mature. This is very important. And if you are mature, then definitely you are a person who is able to bear the responsibility, spiritual responsibility, before God and before man.
Amen.
Toward God and toward man. Without maturity, how can we bear this responsibility? How can you be number five? And number five is what? 3 plus 2? Or is it 4 plus 1? Number five must be 4 plus 1. Look at your finger, you can see it. One thumb and four fingers. You didn't say, oh, I have 5 fingers. No, you said, I have 4 fingers and 1 thumb. Number four signifies the creatures created by God. You have no south, east, west, you have 4 seas and you have 4 winds, you have number four. And number one signifies what? Who is number one? God, of course, no doubt. So if you're just number four and fallen four, because we're fallen, you cannot bear the responsibility unless God is added into you. So it's five. Don't just be number four. You have to be number five. So you can really see here. Number three here signifies, firstly, the triune God. Our God revealed himself to us as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is a triune God. We only have one God. We don't have three gods. But for our sake, God revealed himself to be the Father. It's wonderful because God desires to be our Father. Isn't it wonderful? He's not just our Creator. He's our Father. He wants to be our Father. That's why he created man. So your destiny is not to be just a human being, but to be a son of God. And because man fell through Satan's deception, so we need salvation. And without the Son coming to become a man, to be our sin offering, to die on the cross for us, there's no way we can solve the problem of sin. So this very wonderful God has to be incarnated to be a man. To deal with sin, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then in resurrection he became the life-giving Spirit to come into us, to be our life, to dwell in us, to be our life. So the triune God, it is necessary for God to be triune in order to work himself into us to be our life. We cannot fully understand and explain the mystery of the triune God, and it's not necessary to really fully understand, but God is triune so that he could really come into you. And this life must grow in us. And number three, definitely, also signifies resurrection. Right. We all know that resurrection is what? What is resurrection? Resurrection is to rise from the dead. Right? As simple as that. But it's not as simple as you think. Because according to the Bible, resurrection brings forth a new birth. The new man was brought forth. That is why Peter says, blessed be God, the Father, who has regenerated us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it is through the power of his resurrection that the Spirit within us can transform us and change us. So Paul's desire is to know the power of his resurrection. Everybody believes that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. But why? What does this resurrection do? Number one, it brought forth the new creation in resurrection. And number two, through this power of resurrection, the Lord is working himself more and more into us each day. So Paul says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Don't underestimate resurrection. Paul says, if Christ were not risen from the dead, you're still dead in your sins. So, if Christ only died and did not rise again, then there's no salvation. So, praise the Lord for the triune God working himself into us through the power of resurrection. So, meaning to say, in order to ascend, and we need to ascend, without the triune God, it's not possible to ascend. We need him to ascend. Don't think by yourself you can ascend. How high can you jump? 2 feet. That's as far as you can ascend. Because you are pulled back by the force of gravitational force. So unless you're up in the moon in space somewhere, then you'll be floating, right? But here on earth you cannot ascend too high. No. So you need the triune God. Praise the Lord. We have such a wonderful triune God to help us. And you need to know the power of his resurrection to swallow up the death that is in you. Our problem is not only sin, but death. So we need a triune God. Amen. To help us to ascend. That's why you have the group of three. You have the number three there. And you have the number five. And the more you ascend, the more you can bear the spiritual responsibility to co-labor with this wonderful God to accomplish his will on this earth. Otherwise, we are not able to ascend. It's not possible. Right. Tonight is just an introduction to the songs of ascent. But you have to realize that it's so necessary. The Lord did not want us to stay there. Get stuck and to remain the same year after year, to remain the same is terrible. No, look at your human life. Year after year you have to go on.
Yes.
You cannot stay the same. It's impossible to stay the same. Right. Would you like to be in kindergarten after your 35 years? You're 20 years now and you're still in kindergarten. That's not normal. I think your parents will be so worried about you. Oh my goodness, what's happening to my daughter after 20 years? Not even 20 yet, right? 17 and she's still in kindergarten. Couldn't go past elementary school. How about that? Do you think it's good? But she says, but I like to be in kindergarten. Good. So you like to be in the kindergarten. What do you think, Peter? You'll be seeing the best doctors in the whole world. You see, what's wrong with my daughter? But what about us Christians? Year in and year out. No. Can you testify to the Lord that in this year, now it's December, that you have ascended in your spiritual life. You have grown much more than January. The Lord is for you much richer. Your experience of the Lord has really expanded. Well, you have to assess yourself. You have to know. Right? You're going to college now, right? Or not yet?
Next year.
Next year, you see? Yeah. Every year you have a report card from your school, right? You should know whether you pass or fail, or you got A, or you got B, or D, or D plus, or... You better know your grade. How come you don't care about your spiritual growth? It's not right. It's not right. This whole system and tradition of Christianity is there to keep us like this. So I'm the pastor. My whole life I'll be a pastor. You are the layman, and your whole life you'll be sitting there listening to me. After 50 years, you'll still be sitting there listening. You think he's right? This is definitely not right. That's why the Lord didn't come to build up a system. Right. We all have to mature in life. Pretty soon after you graduate, you will know as much as your dad. Even you will surpass your dad. Right? Will you be envious if your daughter surpasses you? No, you should keep her there in sixth grade all the time. And you are the father all the time. You're here all the time. And your daughter must be here all the time. And the best is to keep her in kindergarten. How about that, Peter? No? Are you sure? Well, she might run away. She might run away from you. So keep her in kindergarten. She'll be depending on you all the time. How about that, Peter? You sure? Well, what about us as God's children? You think our Father decided to see just little children all the time? After 50 years, we're all still little children playing there. So may the Lord have mercy on us. We need to ascend until we reach the goal.
Amen.
We have a goal. We have a wonderful goal.
Amen.
God has a wonderful goal.
Amen.
And we need to know what that goal is. What is our God after? What is in his heart? What is his eternal purpose? The Bible talks about the eternal purpose, which God has purpose in Jesus Christ, his Son. And this purpose was purpose before the foundation of the world. You think our God doesn't have a wonderful purpose? He does have a wonderful purpose, except nobody cared for him. We're not seeking after his purpose. But if we are not mature, and you're always in kindergarten, Stephen, does your son, your daughter knows what you're doing? 7 years old, 5 years old. What about Rebecca? Does he know what her dad is doing? Does she care? Did she ever ask your dad? What is your purpose? What were you doing? Nobody cares because you're a child. If you're children, you don't care, right? You don't care. But the more you grow up, you will know. You will know what is your father doing. But if you are not much sure in life, you wouldn't care what your father is doing. So today, how many really care and seeking earnestly, Father, what is your will? What is your will today? So here we can see that with maturity in life, then we will bear the responsibility. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. In verse 14 of chapter 5, but solid food, praise the Lord for solid food. We need solid food. Belongs to those who are mature, of full age, or mature. Those who by reason of use, so it's not just just knowledge in the head, but really you are practicing. You're practicing. Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, to know what is right. And children, they cannot discern. If you tell your 5-year-old child that he or she should discern what? You can teach a 5-year-old child to discern when the candy comes. That's it. It's gone. Piece of chocolate. Just a bar of chocolate. That child will go with you. Yeah. Maybe 2 pieces of chocolate. Some gummy bears, something like that. Chapter 6 says, therefore, leaving the discussion or the teaching of the elementary principles of Christ. So, considering this, you have to realize that even the teachings concerning the Lord, it's just like the schooling. You're about to graduate high school, going to college. Are you still doing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P? Come and sing with me, A, B, C. Huh? No? Have you left that? Really? What's wrong with that? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
So why not keep it and keep on singing it? No? Why did you leave it? Because there is much more to learn. Much more. And if you don't leave it, you cannot learn. If you want to learn more, leave. Because if you don't, you cannot go on. If you want to go on, you have to leave something behind. Right? So what about math? Are you still 1 plus 1 equals 2? 2 plus 2 equals 4? You have left that. You don't dwell in that anymore. It's already part of your being. You go on. Therefore, leaving the teachings of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to maturity. Perfection here is the same as maturity of full age. Not laying again the foundation. You see, so when you're building a house, one foundation is good enough. After you lay the foundation, don't keep on laying another layer, second foundation, third foundation, fourth foundation, fifth foundation. You lay the same foundation, you'll be How many layers of foundation are you going to build? Too many. One is good enough. After you lay a strong, good foundation, there you should be built. Not laying again a foundation. Repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. Don't stay in those things. It doesn't mean they're wrong. But you should go on already. But it's because you already have laid the foundation. Go on. You go on. And after you have finished the first story, go to the second story. And third and fourth until you reach the final story there. You need to go on. Right. And this we will do if God permits. Do you think God will not permit you? Unless you fail. Unless you can't pass the kindergarten test. You have to repeat, right? So, I hope the Lord will help us to see this. Do not lay again the foundation. So Paul says, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, have tasted heavenly gifts, and have become even partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted a good word of God, and the powers of the age to come. My, have you tasted all that? Wonderful, right? If they fall away, to renew. Remember the word renew here. You go to verse 1. Not laying again, or to renew. Laying the foundation of repentance. So, it is impossible to renew them again to lay the foundation of repentance. You don't need to. You don't need to. It's impossible to lay a second layer or to tear out the foundation you've laid and to renew again and lay the foundation in your whole life. You'll be always laying foundation. Don't do that. But if you fall, rise up and go on.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
You don't have to lay again the foundation. In fact, it's not you don't have to. It is impossible because you already laid the foundation. After graduate, after your last year in high school, you failed. So you have to go back to kindergarten. Oh my goodness, if you have to go back to kindergarten again after you're 50 years old, and once you fail an exam, you go back to kindergarten, you're always been kindergarten. You'll always be in the kindergarten. You don't have to. You don't have to. Just retake that exam and go on. Don't go back and try to lay another foundation. No, it's impossible. And to crucify again for themselves the Son of God, you think you can do that? Can you crucify the Son of God again? Are you that capable? Go back to heaven and ask the Lord to come down and ask the Son of God to come down and re-crucify himself for you? It's impossible. Can you do that? Of course no one can do that. It's impossible. You don't need to. You don't need to. Not only you don't need to, it's impossible because the Lord died once and for all. This is what Hebrews says. He died once and for all. That's good enough. And not like Aaron, they have to daily and all the time kill the lamb again. You don't need to do that. So if you keep on doing that, then you will not be ascending. You will always be in the first step. Oh, then you're in the second step, you fall and you go down. I have to start again the first step. And then you fall again, you start again in the first step. You will never ascend. You will never ascend. No, we need to ascend.
Amen.
You cannot remain the same. Don't do that. Don't do that. We have to go on. Right? And so if you do not ascend, it is not good. So let us now go to Philippians. In Philippians, Paul found out how rich Christ is. He said, indeed, I count, in verse 8, all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Then he said in verse 10, that I may know him. You will never know him enough. Never. Because there's so much to know concerning this Christ. So much. Right? The unsearchable riches. This Bible you can never exhaust. Right. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the, not just resurrection from the dead, but the best resurrection. Attain means to arrive at the best resurrection. Because here, in the Greek, the resurrection has an ex-resurrection. That means the out-resurrection, the best resurrection. Not that I have already attained. This is a wonderful word here. Paul is not being humble here. But this word should show us that we need to go on. If Paul, such an apostle, would say this kind of word, the one who wrote Philippians, he must have known the Lord already. Quite much. And yet he says, I have not yet attained. Maria, have you attained? Have you arrived? No, so what do you do?
Go on.
Go on. Not only go on, press on. Press on. Press on is more than just going on. To press on means you're pursuing. You would do everything you can to attain the goal. If you say, I'm just going on, well, you can go on in the speed of a turtle. You go on. You go on if you have time. I'm too busy, so I don't go on today. But next week, perhaps. Okay, I'm still going on, but at what pace? At what pace? You're not desperate to go on. You're not desperate. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. What a wonderful realization. A wonderful realization. You know, nothing is worse than being stuck at a certain stage of your Christian life and you're not going on, neither are you falling back and you think you're okay, but you're not okay. No, you're not okay. If you have life and not dead, you will keep on going and growing. Hey, you're 17. You expect to grow? Yeah. Yes. Can you just stay like that?
I hope not.
You don't have to hope not. You should say definitely not. Definitely not. Unless you don't eat, you don't sleep, you don't do anything, you just lie down there like that in your bed the whole day, 24 hours a day. But if you live a normal life, you will never stay the same. You'll never stay the same. So, we have to go on our spiritual life. Tell the Lord that. Lord, I do not want to get stuck. Look at the Lutheran church. They are still the same as 500 some years ago. No change. No change. Look at the Brethren. Look at the Baptists. No change. It's like that. I hope we're not like that. This table will never change. Believe me. This table is not going to change. At most, it'll deteriorate. Okay. But it will not renew itself, and next week you come. It's growing. and after 1 year, it becomes golden. Huh? Do you think it'll be like that? Nope. It won't be like that. Because there's no life here. No. We as Christians, we have His life within us. We have the highest form of life. Christ is our life. A glorious life. So, if we grow, we must go from glory to glory. This is what the Bible says. From one glory to another, and we're being transformed. You're being changed. But if we are not being changed, something is wrong. It's not right. It cannot be. We cannot remain the same. Cannot.
Amen.
Don't remain the same. Tell the Lord, Lord, enlighten me. Shine upon me. Speak to me. Appear to me. Right. So, he not that I have already attained. I really appreciate this word. Or am already perfected. But I press on. This is really important. To press on. This should not be a doctrine for you. But if you realize the wonderful, glorious goal ahead of you, then you will press on. But if it's just a knowledge in your head, you will not press on. What happens if you have final exam?
I study.
You study? Are you sure? Well, just go to bed and then take a vacation. No, you study. You study. You press on. You work hard, right? I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. The Lord save you for a purpose. Not just to bring you to heaven one day. No, absolutely not. He has much to do on this earth today to build up His kingdom. Right. A word concerning Zion, the church, is not just a Sunday morning service. No. Church is God's kingdom. It's Zion, an unshakable kingdom in Hebrews chapter 12. We are building God's kingdom. Can you divide a kingdom? You don't like the United States. Build another one. How about that? Let's build another USA. Don't you think it's a good idea? Oh, Obama's going to send somebody to pick you up. What? You're going to build another USA? You're going to divide USA? You think it's possible to start another United States of America? You have the First Baptist, Second Baptist, the second USA. And he's going to build the third USA. How about that? Huh? Should we do that, Freddy? A revived USA. What are we calling? I can't even think of a good name, my goodness. You can build a 7-Eleven or 8-Eleven. You can call it 9-Eleven. Whatever you can call it. But you cannot build another USA. You cannot. But what do we do? I don't like you tomorrow. What? Come. Hey, you're my good friend, right?
Tomorrow.
What should we call? Think about it and let me know tomorrow.
Give me a good suggestion.
Let's start a new church. How about that? Who is going to recognize you as a church? You think the Lord will recognize you as a church? You start another USA today, you think Washington is going to recognize you? The UN is going to recognize you? Nobody's going to recognize you except yourself. But that's what we're doing today as Christians. We don't know what we're doing. The church is God's kingdom. We have a king. The King of Kings. We have a Lord. So here, I press on. Brethren, I do not call myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
This is a plain word here, the upward call.
Amen.
So if you're not going upward today, don't expect that when that day comes, you'll be going upward all of a sudden. No such thing. No such thing. It's not possible. So Paul is pressing toward the goal for the prize. There is a prize. Salvation is not by works, so that no one can boast. It's by grace, it's the gift of God, not by works, not by you pressing toward salvation. You want to gain the salvation? No, 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 it's given to you free of charge. You don't have to press toward any goal to get the salvation, but for the prize, to be the first fruits, to be caught up, to be before the throne, to be with the Lamb, on Mount Zion in that day.
Amen.
You need to press toward.
Amen.
If you're not pressing forward, no, sorry. Sorry. You think Paul didn't know that salvation is by grace? Yeah, that's what he was teaching in Ephesians chapter 2. But here in Philippians, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about the prize.
Amen.
There's a prize. Now this prize is not free. I'm sorry. You need to press toward the mind. You need to forget the past. You need to count all things lost. You need to suffer the loss of all things. You need to think, I didn't make it yet. You need to have the goal in view. Then you get a prize. Otherwise, it's not called a prize anymore. It's the prize. You press toward the mark. You have to know what it is. I press toward the goal. And now in these days we're going to see the songs of ascend. And these songs of ascend, these psalms will tell us how to press forward and how to reach the goal. Right. In Psalm 120, for example, at the very end he says, I dwell with the people who hate peace. They didn't want peace. Deceitful tongue, and then lying lips, and then wild, and then dark, and my goodness. This is the old man. But then you go to Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
You go from hating peace all the way. You reach the goal of such a wonderful oneness.
Amen.
So you can really see the ascension there.
Amen.
We need to press toward that goal.
Amen.
You don't just slide into it. No, you slide down, you don't slide up. I've never seen anybody sliding up. Oh, slide down. But if you want to go up, you need to climb.
Amen.
You need to press toward a goal.
Amen.
Therefore, let us, as many as are, what?
Mature.
Again, the word mature appears here. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Lord, reveal this to us.
Amen.
We need to go on. Nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained now, you see, you attain by degree. You go from kindergarten to elementary school, now you went through junior high school, now you're finishing high school, you're going to what? College. You go to college. After you finish your bachelor's, you want to go to master's, and maybe you go to PhDs, and you go to postgrad, and then you reach the goal. Right. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind.
Amen.
Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule.
Amen.
Let us be of the same mind.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you haven't attained yet, but go on.
Amen.
Don't force anybody. You cannot. If it's a five-year-old boy, it's a five-year-old boy. What can you do? You cannot force them. But you can encourage them.
Yes.
As long as they're growing, it's fine. You cannot grow faster than you can grow, right? So, can't force anyone to grow and mature, right? You don't tell Emmanuel, Emmanuel, how come you're not mature yet? Mature faster. Can't do that. It takes time. That's why we don't have that much time anymore.
Oh,
may the Lord have mercy on us.
Yeah.
Let us be of the same mind.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right in these days, in the conference, I hope that we all will see something.
Yes.
And to go on.
Amen.
Right, there are many other things that we can share to prove to you that God's work is not by overnight. No, it doesn't happen overnight. But step by step to take us on. Because it's a work of life. Right. If it's a mechanical work, it's very fast. You can tuck, 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 screw everything quickly together. And you got a car. You can even expedite, right? It's day and night, you work. And there it is, you know. But with us, with the spiritual life and the building up of His church, sorry, we don't cooperate with Him. It's not possible. So I hope that through this conference and the brothers will be sharing, the Lord will show us the proper way to go on.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Amen.